All right, today is September the 13th, 2021, and I've got the opportunity today to be interviewing one of our fitness advisors, fitness consultants, who's been doing the position for quite a few years and has had some exceptional results. We've been tracking along with her for quite some time. And we've got Beverly Burnback from Cedardale Health and Fitness in Haverhill, Massachusetts. Beverly, welcome to the interview.
Thanks, Jeff.
Great. So first of all, why don't you tell me a little bit about, before we even talk about the fitness consult role, tell us a little bit about your background. Did you grow up as an athlete, or did you have a fitness background?
So I've pretty much exercised probably since the age of 11, and I'm a skier, runner. I've always loved fitness, found it really important for health and just for stress relief, and have, you know, worked out for many years, living in New York City. Actually had a part-time job while I was working my full-time job at New York Health and Fit. I think it was New York Health and Rec at the time, living in New York City. So that was way back when, in the 80s. So I've just always been into fitness, hiking, biking, anything kind of, you know, in that realm. So, yeah.
That's great. So it sounds like you've had a long career in the fitness industry. How long have you been working in the fitness industry? And tell us about some of the jobs that you've had in the past.
So I've only worked actually in the fitness industry for Cedardale, actually, and that job back in the 80s. My background is an extensive background in sales and management in sales, working for in retail, as well as working as a vendor in New York City. So I do have an extensive background in selling diamonds and apparel. So that's really more of my background in the sales side than the fitness side.
Wow, apparel and diamonds. So you're selling high ticket items. Personal training is a piece of cake.
It certainly is, definitely.
That's awesome. And so when did you start in the role of a fitness consultant, or some of our newer clubs are calling it fitness advisor role?
Yeah, so actually I was a member at Cedardale when they were in their temporary location. And I actually came in to do some personal training for recovery from a knee injury. And I really didn't know, I was kind of nervous. It was my second meniscus tear. And I really, you know, just kind of came in and started working with one of the trainers there. And then, you know, there was a job available for a fitness consultant. But I come more from kind of integrative medicine background, in that I was working at the time for Spalding Rehab, which is one of the largest rehab centers, pretty well known in the country, based out of Charlestown in Boston. So I kind of come from that side of the, you know, track, so to speak. So I was really doing that. And then I really was intrigued by mostly, you know, health and wellness. And that's been my path probably for the last maybe 15 years or so. I'm actually a Reiki master practitioner. I'm also a teacher. I worked in Spalding in the integrative medicine department there. So I saw a lot of, you know, very serious injuries. So I actually come to this position of fitness consultant, which I'm more considering myself a wellness coach, from that perspective.
That's excellent. So, you know, back then, I guess you didn't require any kind of fitness or personal training certifications. Do you have any of those?
So I had been working on and has completed the AFPA health and wellness coach certification, and I'd been working on that. I hadn't taken the actual test, but I have been, you know, I had done the coursework for quite some time. Yeah.
So you're obviously continuing to invest in your education and knowledge. Yes. As it relates to the industry. That's fantastic.
I also work with, you know, the mind body, and, doing a lot of those types of courses that kind of help. And I integrate into, my position as a fitness consultant.
Oh, that's excellent. That's great, Beverly. Yeah. What would you say, Beverly, are your favorite things about this fitness consultant role?
I just really love helping our members, looking at the whole process through their eyes. And especially when I have people that come in with injuries or any kind of an illness or something, you know, a real challenge, I think like that to me is just so rewarding that I see them in the club and say hello to them. And, you know, they give me, you know, their feedback of how well they're feeling. And they're so happy, you know, that they've started to personal train with, you know, our great staff of trainers. So that's really been really super rewarding for me personally.
That's good. There's that old saying, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And Obviously that's where you're coming from in this role.
Yes, absolutely.
What would you say then are some of the biggest challenges that you have in this position?
So I don't really feel like I have any challenges, maybe because I've been doing it for a while. Maybe at the beginning, when I first started off, I wasn't really familiar with the FMS, you know, with testing. Those actual tests, I really thought those were my biggest challenges, but I really feel like I look at each individual and I kind of just try to figure out a plan for them and give them the confidence that I'm confident that I can find something for them to do to help them reach their goals. So I really haven't had that many challenges, I hate to say, but
well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Now, going into like when your day starts and you're, mm-hmm. you know, you've got some consultations coming. How do you prepare in advance for those consultations?
Yeah. So, Jeff, what I do is I read over the fitness journal. First thing I'm looking at is probably whether or not somebody has trained with a trainer before. Also for how long, some answering, you know, all those questions. Then I look at their injuries, kind of see where they are, or if there's any illness concerned that they have. I look at, their levels of fours and fives, meaning, you know, what are their most important goals that they want to reach and things that they're dealing with. So I really know about the client. And, and I thank them and I basically let them know that, thank you, but this really gives me a good insight and, you know, a snapshot to who you are. So it lets them know that I care and that I know about them before we've even sat down.
That's excellent. That's really good advice for consultants listening to this.
Yeah.
In terms of, obviously, you know, the Pro Fitness program is like a feeder system where, you know, membership sells memberships and they sell, you know, consultations and they book individuals to see you for an assessment. But if new membership sales are down or are slow, are there any tactics that you use to either get, you know, current members booked in for consultations? And how do you end up going about filling your schedule in those slow times?
Yeah, so we have a CRM system that we are constantly on. I'm actually on it 7 days a week. I just choose to do that. I do work remote too from home, so I'm constantly booking. And I'm just always looking to see, if someone's canceled, then I'll go back and try, you know, to get them in to book them. But like I said, with the CRM system, we're constantly reaching them probably 2 to 3 times. And also our membership advisors, if there's somebody that really wants to see me and is definite they want their wellness assessment, I get them scheduled right away. So I think just being on, you know, constant alert and looking for members to set them up for the wellness assessments.
Well, that's huge, Beverly. I really like the fact that you're saying that not only a CRM system, but, you know, 7 days a week, even remote from home, making good use of your time and making use of technology. So that's a kind of a good lesson for other FCs to say, look, we've got the technology today. You can be accomplishing this from anywhere, right?
Yeah, especially during COVID, you know, Jeff, I worked mostly from home, starting off with COVID, and I continue to do it. I think the urgency, somebody wants to come in, they want to get started, or people are right off the bat say they need a personal trainer, they need to be motivated, giving them a call. Usually I don't leave it to it's usually 24 hours, if not the same day. But really timeliness, I think, and really customer service so that they know that, you know, we're doing whatever we can to help them acclimate to the club and reach their goals.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't really have this as an original question on our interview, but you bring up the COVID situation and just talk briefly a little bit about that. Like, were you doing some virtual consultations? Were you bringing people into the club one-on-one? And how many people did you get in for consultations during that period of time on average?
So we were closed for a bit, but then they brought, you know, but then I was brought back. And then I was doing, but I was pre-booking. I do a lot of my booking online and follow up remotely. I'm actually only in 3 days a week, and I do my every other day, you know, as of today, I'm on my CRM prior to this. That's what I'm doing, looking to book clients, answering, you know, them back and forth, because that's so easy to do from home. But for COVID, I did not do any consults because you really can't do the, you know, the FMS testing virtually. So I didn't do any of that. I mostly talked with people. And a lot of times I would even during COVID talk with them and review ahead of time their fitness journal, because I did have that information. So when that I did see them, I kind of knew a lot about them, and we started to do our testing, you know, at the club. So that's kind of how we handled that during the COVID times.
That's great. This question is branching off and off and off. I'm getting more and more interested. And so your schedule now, that interests me. So 3 days a week, and in those 3 days a week and possibly 12, 13 days a month, how many consultations do you book with yourself, and how many consultations do you end up on average doing a month?
So I'll do six. I'll probably book 6 hours straight, six in a row, 5 to 6 in a row on those 3 days. So 18 times, you know, 18, a week for me would probably be what it would be.
That's great. And you're getting a high show ratio, I guess, with all the confirmation and all the work you're doing.
Yeah, no, definitely. And again, I do call people personally. I'll have a lot of conversations. People really like know who I am already. I'll give them a call, you know, from home. You know, during COVID, it was kind of hard to, you know, get people right in right away. So when we were ready to open and bring me back, you know, I had preset schedules for people, you know, going forward. So I did have a lot of phone conversations with our members pre-meeting them as well. Just kind of an intake of, you know, what's going on with them and how can I help and that kind of thing. So.
Well, that's excellent. I mean, it's no wonder that you're having the success that you're having in terms of, you know, obviously that relationship you're developing with the clients, the work you're doing in terms of follow-up, the number of appointments you're doing, and the consistency. I mean, there's a consistency there. So that almost leads me into my next question. What advice would you give to a new fitness consultant just getting started with this program to help them be successful?
Yeah. So Jeff, I always look at, I guess I learned this a long time ago selling diamonds. I look at each and every one of our members like through their eyes, you know. So what are they thinking? So if I have a person that's, you know, like now I'm doing a weight management, people that are 250 to 300 to 400 pounds, how uncomfortable they are, right, to come in and sit down in my desk and in my office, and how uncomfortable they are to kind of walk through the club, you know, and the struggle. So that's just one extreme case, but just kind of, you know, looking at really what it's like for them to be in the club. And also, you know, if you can view the process through their eyes, kind of in their shoes, it's very emotional for a lot of people who have not exercised or embarrassed. So it's really the psychology of it, I think, that I would think mostly about, again, viewing it through their eyes, you know. And again, there's athletes and obviously people that are not feeling what I just described, but I do think that, you know, I have a lot of guys that'll come in and I'll say, hey, listen, you're not in your 20s anymore. We have to revamp your program, you know, for now you're in their 50s, you know. So you're just kind of making conversation and trying to connect with the member, I think is really important, huge importance.
Connection with the member is hugely important. So how much time would you say that you take at the beginning in that first part of the interview to make that connection?
It could be anywhere to 15 to 20 minutes, just depending on the time. I mean, you know, it just goes depending on how much time I have. But I start by, when I go and I meet our members in our reception area, I actually go and greet each and every member and walk them back to my office, which is a very large space. So we're walking for a distance and I'm kind of chatting along the way with them. So I'm starting already the conversation. I'm already starting the consult as we walk through the club. So I would say another 15 or so minutes. If I don't have a client after them, you know, they pretty much get my time. So I just, you know, I just really enjoy it. And I love to hear from people and figure out what I can do to create a plan for them to be successful.
Yeah, and when you talk large facility, for our listeners obviously listening in who don't haven't had the chance to look up Cedardale Health and Fitness in Haverhill, Massachusetts, can you give them some idea of how many square feet your club is?
I think we're 250,000 square feet. Yeah.
It's like a city. It's like a little village.
it's quite large. Yeah. So there's quite a lot of time to meet them. And I really think, too, that our members really appreciate me greeting them and kind of taking the time to walk them through and have that conversation, that starter conversation before we get into the office.
That's excellent. And in terms of now, you know, this transition, obviously you've done your consultation, your assessment, you've prescribed mm-hmm. a program for them, and now you're transitioning to the trainers and trying to match them up. How often would you say that you interact with your personal trainers as a team, and what does that look like?
Oh, sorry, it skipped out a little. What was the last part of the question?
Yeah, so how often do you interact with your personal trainers as a team?
7 days a week. I interact with them. So my whole theory is that if I have a client in the office and my trainer's on the floor, or if they're nearby, I will actually text them and let them know that I have a client for them if I'm going to match them. That happens all the time. And our clients love that when, you know, they actually get a face-to-face with the trainer that they're going to be working with. So I text with my trainers every single day. I'm texting them while the client's in the office. I'm texting them, to check. I check their schedules all the time. And I also encourage them that if I'm going to have a contract and I'm going to sell training and our members are paying for it, that I would like them to be in touch with our member to set up their training either that day or within 12 to 24 hours, mostly 12 hours.
Oh, very interesting. So having the trainer respond in a very timely fashion within a short period of time is crucial. Is that correct?
Yes, I think it is. I think our members really appreciate that. And it's just showing super customer service on our end and, that they're ready to get started, and they are ready to get started. And sometimes it's been a difficult decision. It's a lot of money. So I feel that getting that connection between the trainer and the client is super crucial timing wise.
That's good. Well, you've been doing this for some time, Beverly, for quite some time. How do you keep yourself, you know, up for these consultations? You're doing six a day sometimes. How do you remain motivated after so many years of doing this?
I just love what I'm doing, and I love helping people. I love helping our members. And again, I love seeing the results. So each day, it's almost like, you know, you're opening a new chapter of a book, because everybody has a story. And I just love listening and figuring out what I can do. It's almost a puzzle, each individual, you know, what I can help them with, how they can get acclimated to the entire club, what do we have to offer, and really just to benefit their health and wellness, for joining Cedardale. So every day, it's not even that difficult for me. I'm motivated just by those reasons alone.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love the fact that you said everybody has a story. You're interested in people's stories. You're interested in people. I love that.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. What about in terms of goal setting? Do you set goals for yourself? How do you do it?
Well, I book my schedule. Like I said, I only have a certain amount of hours. So I just book my schedule with clients. I'm actually just really booking my hours. I'm not setting specific goals. I'm probably more intuitive with how I go about this job for the health and wellness of individuals. But like I said, I do book the six a day. If I can get to six a day, that's really, see as many people as I can fit into my schedule. But that's really kind of my theory of booking and goal setting.
I think you've just boiled it down to the essence of what it takes to be successful in this role. A club manager once said to me many, many years ago that you always got to do first things first. And your priority in a fitness business is just two things. Focus on managing number of appointments and number of shows. Everything else takes care of itself. And I think you just hit on, if we were make it easy for new fitness consultants, any consultants, manage your appointments and get yourself booked up. That's got to be the foundation, right, Beverly?
Yeah, I would say. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
That's good. So let's go back a little bit. Let's talk about, I love the fact that you go and meet somebody at the front desk and you walk them to the consultation office and you're kind of probably telling them what you guys are going to be doing today and you're building that original rapport. Yes. What are some of the questions that you either always ask or most of the time you ask these questions to help, build your case for personal training?
Yeah. So if I've looked over their journal, which I've had, if there's an injury, if there's something going on with them personally, physically, we kind of chat about that. And I also, kind of chat about where they're from and what do they think of this club and just general questions just to kind of get them comfortable with me and with the club. And again, I do lay out what we're going to do and to kind of put their mind at ease, because some people are nervous about coming through and they don't know what to expect. So, I just pull something from the fitness journal. And again, my years of being working with people, it just comes pretty naturally to me.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that. I think there is this natural element. I would probably ask you if we were to ask two or three or four people that bought a personal training package from you, why do you, Beverly, think people buy from you? Like, what is it?
I think they trust me because I'm very, I don't have to convince someone. I actually make a statement like, I know what would work for you. I think this would be best. I always tell them there's no pressure. So it takes the pressure off that it's not really selling, but it's really suggesting what's best and a really good way of where to start. So then you can do your own thing as time goes on. Eventually, I'm really recommending with confidence. I'm very confident in what I recommend to my clients with the packages, with the amount of time that I believe they need, based on what they're looking to work on for their motivation or therefore lack of motivation. That will all determine the different packages that I review with them. I'm also watching them for if they're getting, kind of nervous. I'm not trying to oversell. I will say one thing, Jeff, I've never really had anybody, maybe 99% sure, that somebody hasn't felt like they were sold to or oversold to. So it's very, my whole approach is very genuine.
There it is. That's the word I was looking to hear. It's genuine. And I can tell it is. And FCs, if you're listening to this, what I picked up right away is there's some key words here that Beverly brought up in this answer, recommendations, strong recommendations that she believes in. She suggests, she makes suggestions, but it's based on confidence and it's based on selling the truth. It's based on what she believes. And there's a confidence factor. Those were, and then finally the word genuine. Those were the key words that I picked up there. And that's amazing. And I'm starting to get a sense of why you're so successful.
Thank you.
And so, let's talk about now, we've talked about the interview, we've talked about building rapport. Now we start getting into the assessments. And again, maybe you do or maybe you don't, but are there any assessments that you feel are potentially more important or the most important to help the client understand maybe what their shortcomings or problems are? And any assessments that you think are crucial to selling personal training?
Yeah, because a lot of our membership is our older clients, you know, they could be like so 50 to 70 to 80. Some of those senior assessments are super important. I would say the most important one is the balance. When a senior finds that they are off balance, they're quite concerned about falling. And so I think those are super crucial because I do sell, you know, a lot of training to, you know, 60s and above. So that's one area. And I think maybe that hurdle, you know, the hurdle step two, which is a lot of indications as well. I feel that that particular test, that assessment is also very telling. And basically when I choose to do whichever, and I don't do them all the time, I'm really, again, and I want to stress this, looking at the fitness journal. So if somebody's, you know, going to have a knee surgery or somebody's had a knee injury or something, I'm not doing a squat with them. I'm just very careful to pick and choose which assessments based on, again, the fitness journal would be most appropriate. So if someone has a rotator cuff tear or something's going on there, you know, we can, you know, look at your shoulder mobility or somebody's recovering and just out of personal, you know, just out of PT physical therapy. Again, my assessments are all based on what I'm reading, what I'm learning about, geared specifically to what is in their journal.
Well, this is very good. So consultants listening to this as well, it's not a one size fits all or cookie cutter approach. And hence the importance of somebody filling out that journal and knowing their background and asking those key questions so you can tailor the assessment to their needs. Here we go again. Here's another crucial element of why Beverly's having the success she's having. This is totally personalized, and hence the word personal training. This is a personalized approach. Would you say that's correct, Beverly?
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff. Yep.
Excellent. So in terms of that now, now we've got the assessment out of the way, we've got the interview, and we're coming to the point where we're going to prescribe a personal training program. How do you go about doing that? And typically, you know, again, I know this changes depending on the client and what you've assessed, but, you know, what do you recommend? How many sessions? What does the client need? How do you go about doing your prescription?
So I actually start talking about the personal training probably, you know, during the consult, you know, and I'll ask them if I've seen them list that they've had a personal trainer, kind of ask about how the experience was. Did they see the results? Did it motivate them, and kind of gauge where they're at that point. And then I kind of just leave it, and we do the assessment, and then we look at, you know, what they're doing. They actually can see what, you know, obviously they can and cannot do. And I said, you know, I'm going to review all the results at the end. We also add into this whole process, we have the Steiku scan, which does their body fat percentage. So that's another tool, Jeff, that I actually use. And that's a lot to do with weight loss and health as well. So after I gather all of that information and review the results during the scan, if there's a weight issue or something going on, I'll go back to talking about the personal training, how that can really help and accelerate, and how if you're coming into the club, you want to see the results, obviously faster, or making a commitment to coming in, you know, What do you think you're going to come in 2 or 3 times a week? What do you think you can do? So again, it's just planting seeds throughout the whole entire process. And then pretty much we just go back into the office and I let them know we're going to put a plan together. And I'm going to come up with all the things that I think would benefit them the most to achieve their goals. And I start off by saying, you know, with personal training and based on what their goals are, number, if they're looking to lose weight or recovering from an injury or need to be motivated, handheld to come into the club, to even come into the club, that will determine which package I sell. I had an individual that had 100 pounds to lose. Well, if she wanted to do that as a physician, and that was her profession, she needed to come in and buy 144. And she did, because this was her health and wellness. And this was how she was going to pretty much survive. You know, when I have like some of these heavier clients, this is something that, you know, I make the recommendation, and they're ready to do it. So, just depending on, or if I have a young athlete, you know, again, it will just depend on, you know, what their goals are. So again, it's just situational, kind of reading what they're looking for and my sense of making a recommendation, depending on what their goals are.
Fantastic answer to that question. That's great. And again, it gets down to that personalized touch and being able to read that individual and mm-hmm. and also using, again, what you said, all of that assessment information and to be able to prescribe the right program and package that makes sense to them. So we get to this final point, mm-hmm. this final step where a lot of consultants, they're very successful in terms of doing an outstanding assessment. They're very technically good at that. And then they struggle right at that point where it comes time to ask for the sale, to ask for them to, you know, either, you know, sign the contract or authorize the personal training sale. How do you typically do it? I know you're obviously natural at this. You've been doing it for a lot of years, but when it comes down to that one moment, how do you ask for the sale, Beverly?
Actually take out the contract and start writing. I literally have the contract. I pretty much know the answer. And I ask, you know, I said, so, and I just, you know, I have like a flip chart and I said, so these are the packages I would recommend. So basically I look at the package myself and I just recommend what I think, you know, you should do a 96 or, you know, and I look at payment plans and different things that would help them kind of reach their goals. But I actually, based on what we talk about, that's part of the plan. I flip through and look at the different packages and suggest, this is what I'm thinking for you.
Okay.
What do you think? And then I put it on them. Would you be comfortable with this? You know, and based on, and then I start going through. And if it's a financial thing, then we look at, you know, a higher package with, you know, lower rate per hour and a better payment plan, depending on, you know, what their financial restrictions could be.
So your advice, obviously, to these FCs is be prepared, have an assumptive approach and basically yes. say, this is what we're going to do and have that contract ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's great. That is really good. That's obviously going back to that word you used before, confidence. You're very confident in your prescription.
Yes.
That's excellent. And so, when you first started as a consultant, going back now and trying to remember back, were there any objections that you struggled with? I know our consultants are probably saying, Jeff, ask Beverly about the price objection. What do you do when you hear a price objection? Because that's what it always boils down to. But were there any objections that when you started, you kind of struggled with? And how did you get better at dealing with objections?
Very good question. So yes, I did. Because I was, you know, looking at it more as a sale. I think when I started prescribing and being confident and knowing that I knew what was going to help them and they knew and started having that trust that we talked about, I think I, a little bit along the way, or I should say along the way, it became kind of an easier ask. But yeah, at the beginning, I think it's all framing it too. And I just think that takes time and framing it and kind of getting a kind of a playbook, you know, so to speak, and what other fitness consultants are comfortable with. But yeah, definitely at the beginning, just going to ask for a straight sale, that didn't work for me. Again, it was this planting of seeds that I figured out all along the way, from greeting them in reception all the way through to coming back, you know, to my office and saying, okay, here we're going to put a plan together. So I didn't have a plan. I didn't know what my plan was going to be. And I think that evolved along the way of, you know, the years of doing this.
Would you say, Beverly, that that's one of the biggest obstacles or problems that most clients have, is that they don't have a plan on how to get them 100% to their goal and beyond?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And they don't even know what they don't know. So I actually just let them know ahead of time that I'm going to be giving them the plan. And this is what I suggest. And sometimes clients don't want to do it right away. So I will let them think about it. And then I will also, this is another thing that has added on, an add-on is I will follow up and give them a call to follow up if they decided, you know, right on the spot. A lot of times they're saying, I have to speak to my husband, my wife, you know, whatever. That's totally understandable, but I will give them a call, and get back in touch with them. And I definitely have people, even, you know, if they don't sign up right then and there, we'll get back in touch with, we'll respond and say, yeah, I've decided I wanted to do it.
So. What you're saying too, is to our listeners, is don't give up, like continue the follow-up, because it goes back to all the work you're doing with the CRM. And we didn't touch on that, but you're not just contacting, calling people that just maybe need a consultation or their initial appointment. You're doing a lot of follow-up with people that you've assessed in the past who were sitting on the fence and didn't come to the decision at that time, right?
Yes, absolutely. I am. Yep. No, I am. And I'm also following up in their training with them and talking to them when I see them on the floor, and just, yeah, again, most personalized, you know, that you can have the, you know, kind of rapport with somebody. But yes, no, I definitely am going back and forth and making those personal phone call, you know, those phone calls to them, seeing how it's going at the club. You know, what are they doing? Another thing I didn't ask is, you know, what are you doing? What have you been doing since you, you know, are coming to the club here? A lot of people don't know what they're doing and they don't know what to do. So that's another add-on where I kind of lean in and talk about, you know, how personal training can start the foundation for them. And I talk about the building, the house and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, that's just something else where they don't know what they don't know. And I'm going to give them, you know, some of the options of things that they can do, which is obviously personal training.
Oh, that's really good, Beverly. You know what that got me thinking about? That got me thinking about, again, going back to you, you know, selling diamonds, selling jewelry back in the day with a sales background. And obviously you must have received, you know, some referrals from the relationships. I mean, that would have probably been a great way for you to continue to sell that product. And are you getting referrals from some of your consultation clients and people have gone on to do training?
Yes. Yes. Yep. And people that are happy with training and they've come back to me and yes, I have. And I've had people that want to work with trainers that have their friends have been working with, and then they'll set up an assessment because they saw that, you know, they saw the results of, you know, their friends working out with trainers. So definitely did get some referrals from that as well.
Great. Well, I've just got one last question for you, Beverly. And is there a number one book recommendation that we should all read that have helped you or that you would recommend?
I wish I could say there was, but I grew up in a family business. So selling at the age of maybe 9 to 11 in a Flora's Garden Center, you know. So I'm all like on hands-on learning. I know Spin Selling, I did look at it. You know, and I think that is a book that you guys have recommended in the past. And it was funny because it was referred and recommended and I looked at it and I said, yeah, I know all this. So I've learned it along, but many years, many years of, like I said, growing up in a family business, a bed and breakfast inn, which is a lot of hospitality and talking to people. So I, like I said, I have a unique background and I really enjoy it. Just have fun, you know, and really take interest in your clients. But yeah, as far as a book, I think I have that, I don't know. I think it's inbred in my genes, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Who needs books and courses when you started at that age in the family business? Exactly. And there's no better way to learn, right? Right. Yeah, it must be hands on. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and to be honest. Yeah.
No, that was, and this has been great. I thought, this was a fantastic interview, and I want to thank you for, first of all, your time and for sharing your experience and your wisdom and, and also allowing us to share, this interview with some of our, consultants who've worked in this position, maybe are just getting started. So I think maybe I'm going to ask you one last question. If somebody's thinking about getting started in this position, right? So they're maybe very new, they're considering coming on board, considering what this position entails. What's your advice to them about this as a career choice?
I think it's one of the most rewarding careers I've ever had. If you, really care about getting people well, then I think it's a really amazing, amazing job, because you really impact people's lives one person at a time. And I can't think of anything more rewarding than that.
Oh, that's wonderful. Beverly, if a consultant listens to this interview and maybe has a question, would you mind if they emailed you that question?
That's fine. Sure.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for your time today, Beverly. Really appreciate this.
Okay.
And congratulations on all your success as well. I know you're having an outstanding year here in 2021, and just keep up the great work. And we're going to look forward to tracking along with your success.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Thanks so much.